How does the glory of God come from fellowship with the dungeon? Every believer must be empowered to shine that God has intentionally put you here. And then I'm going to, by faith, obey whatever the word of God tells me to do in relation to my church sphered relationship. And when I do that, God intentionally blesses me. Yeah. Over and over again. It's not by accident. It didn't just stumble me. God purposed, God intentionally blesses my faith and my obedience. Amen. You can't separate it. I'm faithful. But when you're not obedient, then I say, faithful to what? Everything God says. Mm-hmm. I have some people, I love the Lord. Do you tell? Well, no faith. No obedience. But I love you. No, you don't. Because the evidence of God's intended purpose is that by faith I will obey. That's God's purpose. That when he gives me the word of God, God rest assures that when Albert Roy gets the word, guess what? He's going to be faithful, he's going to obey, and I can intentionally bless him. Many of us don't understand that it's God's purpose to move you from A to Z, but we're stuck on the side of God's intent and we will not have faith to obey what God has revealed.
Amen.
And therefore, guess what? You start. The light goes out. There's no shine. But when there is a shine, the believer has stepped by faith, not seeing, but obeying the word of God. But I don't like the person who's telling me that. It's God's intent that they will tell you. I just got to buy faith, movement, obedience. So many of us like to pick where our blessings come from. No, God intentionally put that individual in your life over you to speak life into your life. All you got to do is intentionally by faith obey, and then God's purpose is to bless you.
Yeah.
That's why God is at work in you. That he can intentionally bless you. God speaks to you. This is where I want you to be. No.
Say it.
I want something more. I want the big orchestra. I want the blast. But what God is doing is intentionally working in you. That by faith you can act in obedience and he will bless you abundantly. Why? Because you've been shining.
Mm-hmm.
Number four. Well, if I'm working by faith and I'm in the purpose of God intentionally, mm-hmm. The next thing is that there are some themes that we need to work on. If I'm working by faith, Paul writes in the script some things to work on. He says, in your faith, work on these things. By word of Paul's marvelous text, Paul says, I'm not going to leave you ignorant. You got to do the work of faith. God is working in you by intent that you may have faith and obedience. Now, he says, go to work. So you won't leave wondering, where do I start? Paul says, start right here. Okay, I got faith in my heart. Okay, Lord, what I start working on? Paul says, start with this. Do everything without complaining. Work on that. He says, do everything without complaining. Stop murmuring. Because guess what you don't understand? Complaining is spiritual discontent with what God has told you to do. And whenever there's spiritual discontent in what God says do, that is the seed of unbelief. Because I don't believe that if you can't tell me what to do, God, I can do what I want to do. So if you're going to tell me that and I'm not going to do it, that means I don't believe. The parent says to the child, don't do that, you're going to shoot your eye. The child does that and shoot their eye. They didn't believe. The word of God gives us a principle to live by. We don't live by it, and the results of these. So the Bible says, work on this, your complaining spirit. things that you know the word of God is against, but you complain to God that God is not like that. Let me do what I want to do. And God said, you have the free will to do so, and then you get smacked into circumstances. Dirt in, dirt out. That's a complaining spirit. That when God says shine, you say dull. God says light, you say no, darkness. He says walk in the path, you say walk over there. He said don't assemble with them, you say I want all of them. And so the Bible says don't complain, work on this, stop arguing. Let your faith work on an arguing spirit. Titus 3 and 9 calls arguing stupidity. Yeah. Not me, that's the word of God. Paul said, don't get caught up in stupidity. What is stupidity? Dumb stuff.
Amen.
Stuff that have no kingdom significance. We want to wait back. We want to wait back. No, this is my department. The way I stop that is say, do you love the Lord? Yeah. Then stop arguing. And whoever steps up and starts arguing, that's the one I get rid of. Get out of here. Because you don't want to shine forth the Christ that's in you. In our good spirit, the Bible says it's foolish conversation. According to 2 Timothy 2, he calls it foolish conversation. Learn by faith not to waste time in minutia conversation.
Right.
It means nothing. Who got a key to the building? You can bug me night and day. I'm not going to answer that call. Pastor, this is Brother Sonson. Who got a key? No answer. Why? Because that's foolishness. My response is always, are you paying your time? What money got to do with it? It's got to do with your relationship with God. We are all about silly things. They've all come home safely. Why y'all didn't come home an hour ago? Incidentally. Paul says, work on this. He says, work on your life being unpolluted, that your commitment to Christ is unmixed, but it is pure.
Amen.
Paul says, make sure that your actions and your faith are pure without any malicious intent. So that the world cannot talk against you, that whatever I do in the witness of Christ, it is pure. That my love to my parents is that they may be honored unto the glory of God, not that I may get things from them. That you are loving your children according to the word of God, because it's the word of God, not that they can take care of you when you get into a bad season. That you're worshiping God for the purpose of growth and spiritual development, but not for any rank or position of power. Make sure that your commitment is pure and untainted.
Yes. Lord.
He says, work on this. Here's the powerful one. He said, work on this. That you may be children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. He says, work on this, that you would not be crooked, nor would you be depraved. You see, many of us who enter into the promise of life, instead of us letting the light of Christ come before us, we use the light of Christ as a exploitation to take advantage of somebody else. That is being crooked and depraved. Those elevate to Christian counseling, and you sit in your seat of knowledge and come on in, know that you may exact your weaknesses on those who are weaker than you. Those who come into position of authority, we hand out opportunities only for the advantage to take advantage of folk. Paul said, listen, don't be crooked, don't be depraved. Work on this. He said, that's what your faith should work on. No believer should ever take advantage of another believer in work or social or church relationships. For a believer to undermine another believer is to douse their life out.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
Don't you hear that?